It is time on a Friday when I start thinking about food. I haven't had breakfast yet, so I always think about food. But I start thinking about food in a bigger sense for the weekend, and it is the weekly feed. Tung from Noodlies is joining me. A very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. A delicious morning to
a
you,
very
Nick.
Delicious morning. Now, you've got a bit of a, I'd almost call it a Sydney staple, but still a lot of variety there. What are we talking about?
Well, it's funny. I was writing an opinion piece about what is Australian food for, you know, Australia Day and Lunar New Year. And, you know, we were scratching our head and said, What's quintessentially, you know, Aussie.
Yeah.
But anyway, I reckon pho should kind of go in there.
Absolutely. I'd throw it up there with the banh mi as the kind of the snack of choice for Aussies, or the meal of choice.
Well, that's what I reckon. I reckon if you did a poll of, you know, how often do you eat a certain meal,
yeah,
it would be pho, banh mi, or pad thai. I reckon they'd be right up there.
They might as well rename it pad Aussie, let's be honest.
Well, you know how there's a big push on change today. Let's change it to Lunar New Year's. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
No,
I wasn't serious.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. A lot of variety with your fur around Sydney as well.
There are. But I thought, well, this today's segment is prompted by someone who I saw eating in a cabinet of fur shop. And obviously they're visiting.
Mm.
And it felt like they didn't quite know what to do. And I felt like saying, I wanted to go up and just say, you know, you should do this and this and this to get the best out of your bowl of fur.
Hit me.
Well, you know, everyone... You can't go wrong.
It's always going to be good.
It's always going to be good because that broth has been cooking minimum 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Some actually cook it overnight. They put it really low because the whole point is to extract all of the kind of the flavors from the bones. And if you think it's sweet, it's because they throw lots and lots of onion. So they boil the onion in the broth.
Now, I didn't know that's what was adding that little sweetness to it.
It's sweet and a bit spicy. Mm. And of course, you know, some people put five spice and other things, you know. But so let's be clear. You actually can't go wrong.
No.
Because it's the broth that makes it. But you can actually enhance it a little bit by, you see a lot of times people bring bean sprouts, you know, the mm-hmm. side plate. So you've got two choices. If you really like your bowl really hot, at every Vietnamese restaurant, you can actually ask for bean sprouts that's been blanched. So that way when you put it in, it doesn't actually quickly cool the broth.
Now, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Good.
Yeah, well, and also it's good in Vietnam because you make sure it's all clean. It goes into the bowl. There's two reasons. But in Australia, it's not to kind of get the broth to cool down too quickly. And the other thing I see is everyone knows that you need to put the basil leaves into the broth. What people don't know is you should tear the leaf because it's the same thing as if you just dump it in, it takes a long time to actually ferment through. If you tear it, you're releasing the flavors into, and I can see you salivating there.
I am a little bit because I love that smell. It's just so good.
You can visualize it, can you?
Yeah,
when you break it. And the other good thing about that is exactly what you just experienced. When you do that, you actually open up your saliva glands to get ready for the meal.
Oh, of course.
So make sure you kind of break the leaf. And don't put, it comes with the leaves on the stem. Don't put the stem in. It's kind of
I do see people dunk the whole thing in like it's a stick and they're just trying to find the bottom of it, but yeah.
So don't do that. And then you see, I mean, I often go to like Chinese restaurants and there's this, you know, clump of condiments on the side. I never do anything with them, which is wrong, completely wrong. So you should do the same when you go to the first shop. There's all these condiments. Mm. They usually, if you look carefully, there should be kind of a tiny, small little plate that mm-hmm. just is stacked up. Take that out, pour hoisin on half of it, pour the chili, like sriracha sort of sauce on the other side, and that's what you dip your meat in.
Good. I have been doing that. Didn't know if I was getting that part wrong or not.
Well, see, we enlighten everyone today. Confirmation of everything. So go and make sure you do that. And the final thing that you should, you know, think about, you don't have to, is chili. What I normally do is think whatever your limit is and add just a couple more slices.
Give yourself that little bit of a push.
Because you find if you don't, you'd be surprised how quickly your palate sort of gets used to it. And again, the whole point of the chili is it stimulates your saliva glands and actually it just keeps you, you know, really aware of everything. Really.
See through time if you do it wrong.
That's right.
Now, where do you stand on what goes in the fur? Because I'm a beef fan and I like the works. I want the tendon, I want the tripe, I want the weird meatballs, the full bits.
Yes. That's what they call it the duck beak, which is special.
Right.
It's only special for rice, but fur, of course. So everything goes in there. that's actually what you really should have. I mean, it's not the most popular in Vietnam, only because it costs more and because, you know, you're getting the full works. So people tend to get, you know, one type to keep the cost down. But where people can, they want to do that. The reason you do that is there's not a lot of different textures in the, you know, you get a soup and you've got your noodles. But the tendons, the beef balls, the cooked and uncooked meat kind of gives you, it keeps your brain going because everything's kind of different. And imagine in Vietnam, I did a bit of a survey, and something like millions of bowls of pho are served every day. So people eat it all the time. Oh, so you do need to kind of kick your brain into gear so it doesn't go into automatic pilot.
Of course not. And a bit of a textural change in any meal is always pleasant.
Now, the thing that if your listeners are really interested, there's three types of kind of different, apart from what you put in it,
okay.
For the three different regions in Vietnam. So everyone kind of agrees that pho came originally from the north because mm-hmm. it's a bit of a kind of a noodle dish from China. And then the French bought beef because, you know, you wouldn't associate beef normally with Vietnamese food. It's no. mainly chicken that you get. So, and some say, Luc Nguyen actually told me that he thinks it comes from the French pot au feu. So it's a way of cooking vegetables and everything.
Pot au feu being beef stew in French.
So of course, typical Vietnamese, they dial everything up, but that's kind of the whole point, and add noodles in. So that's the French influence. So it's like the banh mi, you know, the bread.
Yep.
But it's really very, like pot au feu, it's quite light, it's quite clean. So you don't, it's quite subtle. And the dipping sauce, they don't use hoisin, like we're talking, or sriracha, chili sauce. They use salt and pepper, just plain salt and pepper with a bit of lime.
That's it?
That's all you dip in. Oh, and they cut lime leaves. In little strips and put on. That's the other flavour part of it.
Wow.
So I want to kind of move quickly. So that's that. You really, if you want to try that, Wei Hung in Cabramatta and Liverpool, specialist northern pho.
Uh-huh.
If you want to try going down the central pho, not really known for pho, but probably one of the most famous pho restaurants actually, is PhD in Marrickville.
Yes.
On Illawarra. You're quite familiar with that.
I am. It's lovely.
So, now I'm salivating, but they're kind of a bit sweeter. So they dial up the sweetness and they put kind of pepper on top, which is a bit unheard of, and some people actually don't like it.
Oh, okay.
But I actually think it's great. But the purists go a bit, you know, nuts over it. And then southern pho. So rule of thumb, everything's very subtle, very cultured, very reserved north. The further it goes down, the more you let, yeah, the more, you know, desperate housewives of it gets. So strong flavors, punchy, and a lot more ingredients.
Amazing stuff. I had no idea there were so many regional variations. Hey, where can people read more of your incredible food writing?
Head to Noodlies, and I even have a thing where I search for the best top 10 pho dishes in Sydney.
Fantastic stuff. We'll have a link up on 2SER.com. Always a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Thank you.